You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to episode number 273 of Locked On Raptors for Tuesday, February 6th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of LockedOnRaptors.com and RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors. You can find links to every single episode. Of course, Locked On Raptors is also part of the Locked On Podcast Network, which hosts team-focused shows for all 30 NBA teams, as well as Locked On Fantasy with Josh Lloyd and Locked On NBA with David Locke. And of course, you can find those all together on the Locked On NBA iTunes channel. Make sure you check out yesterday's episode of the podcast. It's the second day of the Locked On Raptors Trivia Tournament. It was a really good one. It's a long-ass episode. It's like 2 hours long, but there were sudden death rounds. There was a big upset. It was a really fun time, so make sure you check it out. Check out the updated bracket on the Locked On Raptors website. I posted the bracket in the post for the podcast, so really fun stuff going on over there. We got more matchups coming up this weekend, and good times being had all around. All right, on today's show, I am going solo today. Also, make sure to find the podcast on iTunes, leave a rating, leave a review, all that stuff I've asked you to do a million times before. I appreciate anyone who takes the time. It takes no time at all, and very much helps to make us more popular and make us more visible and all that good stuff. So thank you in advance for doing that. On today's show, I'm going solo. I'm just going to do a bit of a trade deadline preview. It's hard to really preview the Raptors trade deadline this season. It's not like it was last year where there was a lot of sort of balls in the air. The Raptors had already made a trade for Serge Ibaka ahead of the deadline. And, you know, there were the rumors of PJ Tucker or whoever else floating around out there ahead of the deadline. And, like, it seemed like it was kind of an all-in season for the Raptors. Not quite that this season, because there's a lot of different reasons. And actually, today's podcast is just going to be five reasons. I'm going to roll through them. Why the Raptors don't need to or just won't make a trade this season at the trade deadline. And I think that's totally fine. We'll do that. And I guess we can dive right into it right now. Again, the Raptors are in a weird spot because there's just not a whole lot they can do. There's not a lot of flexibility. And there's just a lot of bigger picture reasons why they might not want to make a trade. So let's get into those reasons right now. Reason number one. They might already be the best team in the Eastern Conference. I'm actually going to play a clip from you. This is from David Locke's podcast last week, the Locked On NBA show, which you should definitely subscribe to, rate, and review, because David Locke is a really, really smart dude. He's talking, and we talked about this a bit on the podcast he was with on me with after the Jazz game a couple weeks ago, and sort of he mentioned it in our short little interaction next to the bus for the Jazz, the team bus. But I'll play this clip for you. It's from his podcast last week. I think it came out on like Thursday or Friday, and just sort of, he kind of sums up the situation where the Raptors are in and sort of the argument for potentially making a trade. So here we go.
Toronto's done this brilliant thing where they have this young crew of Van Vliet and DeLon Wright and OG Anunoby, who's going to be great, at least looks to me like he's going to be great. Pascal Siakam, Jakob Poeltl. They have these young guys. I'm not sure I think any of those guys are playoff ready. They have this other core that is Lowry, DeRozan, Valanciunas, and I'm forgetting somebody. And Ibaka. I think they're the best team in the East. The question is whether Masai Ujiri is willing to move those young kids to go get one or two established players and lose a little bit of that future. Because I think if he does, he makes the NBA Finals. And he might make the NBA Finals for a year or two before Boston becomes a beast.
So once again, that's the boss man, David Locke, sort of assessing where the Raptors are at with their roster construction. And, like, his argument makes sense. You know, obviously the Raptors have had issues in the playoffs before. I do think they're kind of being overblown a little bit in conversations about what this Raptors team is going to be, because I do think that, like, the change in terms of how they play is very real. And even though there have been issues late in games with crunch time and maybe some reverting to old habits, I think that's more natural to happen in crunch time because, you know, just isolation ball becomes more prominent for all teams in crunch time. But I think the way the Raptors have played throughout the course of most of their games kind of, you know, hints at maybe they won't be in so many crunch time situations or sort of on the thread against, you know, worse teams in the playoffs, because they are just, they're much better and they're sort of just taking care of business earlier in games. I mean, obviously playoffs are closer and it's more difficult and closer defense, closer games in general, but I do think the Raptors, just the way they're playing for 45 minutes of games, does kind of hint to me that they're going to be a better playoff team this season, a more, you know, equipped playoff team, a little less easy to stop and to sort of game plan for, and I think that matters. So when you look at sort of the lack of playoff readiness for the young guys, I mean, that's fair. I think, you know, it's hard to really pencil in young guys to be successful. I mean, OG Anunoby's a rookie. He's had some ups and downs this season. His shot has gone back and forth. And I think the biggest issue with those guys is not maybe not so much their playoff readiness or whatever that intangible thing is. It might just be that they're not great shooters. And that might be sort of a limiting factor, as it's been in the past for the Raptors. You know, Patrick Patterson, Damari Carroll, even Corey Joseph, and PJ Tucker even at times last season. You know, not being excellent shooters kind of limits you in what you can do in terms of how your offense is working. And it sort of makes it easier to load up on DeRozan and Lowry if, you know, teams aren't going to be scared of Pascal Siakam, you know, making you pay for loading up on the stars. And that's totally fair. So from that perspective, you can totally argue that, yeah, maybe they need an upgrade. Maybe they need a better shooter, a little bit extra playmaking. You know, a guy like Tyreke Evans, who shot well and also is a bit of a playmaker as well when the ball's in his hands. I can understand where you're coming from there. But my whole thing is that I don't think the Raptors really need to make a move in order to take advantage of the Eastern Conference. It's different because obviously the Cavs are still a thing, and it's the finals you're trying to make and not the Eastern Conference finals like it was a couple years ago. But I do think it's kind of similar to the 2015-16 season. If you remember, there was like a lot of talk leading up to that deadline. Should the Raptors trade for Markieff Morris or Ryan Anderson or someone like that to try to bring them in to, you know, help establish them as, like, yes, a favorite to make it to the conference finals? And my whole thing with that team was, like, look at the Eastern Conference. I still think that team can make a conference finals without making a move. Ultimately, that was correct. They didn't make it easily, of course. The Indiana and Miami series were ugly and they were slogs and they were terrible, but they made it nonetheless. And I still think I stand by, like, the statements I would have made back then. Like, yeah, I think they're good enough to make the finals or the conference finals. And, like, that's the goal for this season. You're not beating the Cavs no matter what. There's no move out there that's going to get you past the Cavs. So the goalposts move a little bit this season, because obviously you're looking at the finals as, like, the goal, I would think, if you're the Raptors, considering the state of the Eastern Conference. And David mentioned in there that the Celtics aren't quite the unstoppable beast that they're going to be, and I do have serious questions about the Celtics offense come playoff time, and we're going to see the Celtics tonight, and I'm very excited for it. It should be a blast. But I do think, with the way the teams are playing right now, with the way the Raptors have played defense this season, which is a marked improvement over what they were for most of last season before they made the trades, and I just think the way they're playing offense, I think they're more cut out to potentially, you know, get through the first couple rounds a little more easily and maybe get to a conference finals and then get to a finals. Like, if the Cavs are playing this poorly and they don't do anything at the deadline, of course, things can change. The Cavs could pull off some move because they always pull moves out of their asses, but I do think the Raptors are good enough to potentially reach a finals as is. And I'm not sure there's a move out there that changes their ceiling all that much. I think, just, we'll get to some of the other reasons why I don't think they're going to make a move, but I'm not sure there's a move out there anywhere that makes sense for the Raptors financially and that, you know, works with all the machinations of the cap and the CBA and the luxury tax. I'm just not sure there's a move out there for a player that's going to change the Raptors from being what they are right now, which I think their ceiling is, you know, potentially make the finals, to making them just maybe slightly more able to make the finals. It's hard to say, but I just don't think there's a move out there, and there are other reasons why I would hold off on trading these guys as well, which we will get to right now. Reason number two is that it's really damn hard to make a trade for the Raptors with their salary structure. You know, when you look at the roster, two-thirds of it is on rookie deals. There's just not a lot of money to send out. If you're looking at anyone with a meaningful salary, you're looking at two, potentially three of the young guys to even sort of cobble together something. We have a little Slack chat going right now with the Locked On Podcast Network. You know, we kind of do these sort of, you know, mock trade deadlines, mock drafts and stuff. We did, of course, the mock draft last season where we sort of made trades and whatever. We have one of those going this season for the trade deadline, and I've been going back and forth with David Locke about the Jazz, and Rodney Hood is interesting, and Derek Favors is available, and Joe Johnson's available. But, like, it's kind of a non-starter because, you know, when you get to Rodney Hood, the Raptors are so close right now to go. They're going to be over the tax next season, I think, pretty much assuredly, especially if they sign Fred VanVleet or match an offer sheet or whatever happens with him. Like, they're going to be paying a ton of money. Norm Powell's extension kicks in as well. Like, the Raptors are going to be super expensive next season. So a guy like Rodney Hood doesn't make a ton of sense because he's a restricted free agent as well. And I don't think they're going to trade any sort of future assets for Rodney Hood, who's probably got a pretty high price tag right now because he is a dude who can hit threes and play multiple positions on the wing and can be a scorer for you. He'd be very nice in a Raptors uniform for the stretch drive here, but I don't think the Raptors would want to commit to that long term. And Michael Grange actually reported something about that today, kind of echoing that statement. And then you get to, you know, Joe Johnson, for example. I'm just using the Jazz as an example because they kind of have different guys with different salary structures. Joe Johnson's making like $10 million bucks a year. He would be very nice to have. He could also be a potential buyout guy. So I don't know if I would be wanting to blow my load to try to get Joe Johnson when he could potentially be bought out by the Jazz anyway, or someone along that line. These are just names I'm throwing out as examples. These aren't like dudes I'm saying are coming to the Raptors or anything like that. Because again, I don't think the Raptors are doing anything. But Joe Johnson makes like $10 million bucks a year. So you're looking at two or three at minimum, probably three of the bigger of the rookie contracts. And like at that point, you're trading three dudes who are kind of a bridge to your future and a way to sort of keep your bench costs cheaper for the next couple seasons at least in exchange for a guy who's probably going to be gone at the end of the season and is old and maybe isn't very useful in a playoff series, especially defensively. Obviously, you'd like to have Joe Johnson not be, you know, be on the Raptors so he's not on another team that's about to torch the Raptors. But that's a tough one to sort of sell as well. And then you get to the bigger contracts, and it's just, it's really hard because the only big contract the Raptors really have on the books is like Jonas Valanciunas. And you can't trade Jonas Valanciunas right now because his value internally with the team is probably at an all-time high. You know, the way he's played over the last month, 2 months or so, like he's been very useful. He's kind of made up for some of his weaknesses. The three-point shooting is coming along. He's actually had, you know, teams are actually starting to, you know, pay attention to him a little bit. You saw Marc Gasol close out on him pretty hard a couple times on Sunday, and that can kind of lead to other things. It leads to blow-bys like we saw as he's, you know, improving his handle, which is still inexplicable. Or like maybe you can kind of work on him hitting cutters with passes and things like that. There's lots of things you can do with Jonas Valanciunas as a shooter, just a guy who's out on the perimeter working the elbows and things like that. And then also his defense has been much better. His rim protection, he seems they're being much more conservative with him in the pick and roll. He's not really coming up quite as high. They're having him hang back, and that's been, you know, useful for him. Obviously there are certain matchups where that's going to burn you. You know, like the Warriors are for example a team that he's never been able to hang with really, because he just can't come up and sort of navigate that in between space between shooters coming around screens and sort of trying to hang back to prevent drives. It's just kind of been an area of weakness for him. But he's been much better of late, and he's obviously very highly valued within the team. Like they would have offloaded him for a first round or attached to an asset over the summer if they really wanted to, and if they felt like he wasn't going to be valuable to them. But he has been valuable. He's a great rebounder on a team that lacks those. And when you look around the league, his value around the league probably isn't very high. So while he's the biggest contract that you can send out, it's not really, you know, going to work. You're not going to get anything back for it because teams aren't going to be looking to, A, take on that big money in a summer where there's very few teams that have cap space, and bad teams are going to want to maintain cap space in order to get assets along with, you know, bigger contracts in the future, like the Nets did with DeMarre Carroll, for example. Or like the Suns did with Greg Monroe this season. Like, I just can't see the Raptors, you know, finding a team that's willing to take on Valanciunas and then also give them something valuable in return. There's just very few things out there. Maybe you could do like a multiple piece trade or whatever where you send Jonas out and get a few smaller pieces back, but it's hard to, you know, put all those contracts together. And the Raptors have roster space to consider. They have an empty roster spot for a reason this season. It's in order to stay underneath the luxury tax at all costs, because if you go over the tax this season, you end up paying repeater tax and you're in penalties, and then the third season of this window, that's when the repeater tax would kick in, and that is difficult to maneuver. It makes things a lot more difficult to sort of manage your cap sheet, and you're paying a lot more money in tax when that happens. So just financially, it's really hard for the Raptors to make a trade. They can bring back, I believe Blake Murphy's written in his many articles and their invaluable resources, about $4.5 million in terms of the size of a salary that they can fit underneath the tax apron. And you know, that's going to be hard to find. There aren't that many guys. If you're sending out, say, for example, a Lucas Nogueira or something like that, who probably doesn't have very much value right now because he hasn't had a good season and he's an expiring contract, he's going to be a restricted free agent. Some team's going to have to pay him something. I don't know what the asset is that you're bringing back in exchange for Bebe and like a second round pick, for example. The Raptors don't have a second round pick this season. They have one in 2019, and they don't have a first round pick they can trade till 2020. And it's just, it becomes really hard when you don't have those assets to make those minor little moves that you might be able to improve on the edges. So I don't really think that is on the table either. It's just really hard mechanically for the Raptors to do something. You know, Tyreke Evans has been a name thrown out there, and there are other reasons why he might not work. You know, it's hard to say, but I just, from a financial perspective, it's very hard for the Raptors to come up with anything that actually works and that actually improves the team tangibly. So that's why I kind of think they'll stand pat. Reason number three, and this is something that Adrian Wojnarowski touched on in the podcast he did with Zach Lowe yesterday. He was kind of talking about the idea of the Raptors consolidating some of their young guys to bring in a more proven veteran-type player. And first of all, we've kind of touched on the first issue there, is that you got to consolidate a lot of those dudes to bring in any sort of meaningful salary, and therefore a player who's got a salary, who's worth that kind of salary coming in. Obviously, you could potentially do it for a young player on a rookie deal still, but it's kind of a lateral move at this point if you're giving up multiple young players to bring in another young guy or whatever it's going to be. So if you're looking at that, I don't really see the rush to consolidate these young guys. I think, like I mentioned at the top, I think they're very much good enough to make it to a finals this season if everything breaks right. And you need luck in any of these situations. You need the seeding to break correctly. You need the Cavs to potentially kind of be at the end of their win cycle here, which they might be. They might not be able to make a trade here. I'm sure they'll do something, but it might not save them. Kevin Love is out. Isaiah Thomas has been a disaster for them, and it is a serious liability come playoff time, especially defensively, and especially when he's not sort of running the offense. And they just don't have good defensive players, and this might be the season where they are sort of beatable. And maybe the seedings work out so you avoid them altogether. Maybe the Celtics take care of them in round two or something like that. We have no idea how the seedings are going to bear out, but that's something to keep in mind for sure. And then, I just think when you look at the young guys, and again, this is what Woj said, it's kind of hard to sell yourself on giving up two or three of these future guys who are still on rookie deals, who are still super cheap, and are a reason why you're so good right now, in order to make a marginal upgrade. And I think if you look at this team right now, I don't know what the rush is. Coming into this season, this was always going to be year one of this window. And this was always a year where the Raptors could kind of hang back and not worry about expectations quite as much. Obviously, the goalposts move and things change because of how the Cavs have played and because of how the East has turned out with Gordon Hayward getting hurt, and just how well the Raptors have played and how quickly some of these young guys have gotten good and useful. But I still think, to look at this, where the Raptors are at right now, it's still worth looking at them as a three-year project, or at least a two-year project, with that third season potentially being a transition season in 2019-20. But this year and next year was always going to be more of the go-all-in season, because you're one further year into Lowry and Ibaka's contracts. They'd be expiring the following season. And you also are one year further into these guys, the young guys on the roster, developing. And I think that is think about where the Raptors are now. And I've mentioned this on the podcast, but think about how good the Raptors bench is right now. The Raptors are a plus team with every single one of their players on the floor and off the court. They're just good up and down the roster. Very few teams can go as deep as they can. We'll see how that bears out in the playoffs and how many guys end up actually playing come playoff time. But they're a really deep and good team because of the youth that they have. Think about where they're going to be a year from now, when DeLon Wright's still on he'll be on the final year of his rookie deal. Potentially, he gets an extension this summer, which sort of muddies the money for 2019-20. But in terms of next season, you still got DeLon Wright, Jakob Poeltl, Fred VanVleet will be a restricted free agent, so who knows what's going to happen there with his contract. But he's not going to be, exorbitantly expensive, you would hope. I mean, maybe some team gets out there and goes crazy with an offer sheet, but we'll see how that turns out. But either way, you still have Poeltl, you still have DeLon Wright, you still have Pascal Siakam, all on their rookie deals, and that is going to be such a huge boost to this team. It's going to be so valuable to this team to have those guys at such cheap contracts, and just think about how good they're going to be a year from now. They're already sort of ahead of the curve right now. I totally forgot OG Anunoby in there as well, who's still working through some stuff, getting his athleticism back. I mean, you have four guys who are going to still be on rookie deals next season, plus Norm, plus Fred VanVleet. This is still it's still the making of a really good roster for, cheap back end of the bench, talent. And that just kind of sticks with the model that the Raptors have been going after. And I just think a year from now, you think the Raptors are good now, the development, and obviously things can get derailed. We've seen Norm Powell take a step back this season. Maybe guys regress. Maybe you lose Fred VanVleet to some team. But I do think that this is going to still be a very excellent bench next season. Maybe some guys become starters, who knows. And I just think the team will look even deeper next season and more steady all the way through the roster with having four guys still on rookie deals who are going to be part of your rotation. Cashing them in now, I don't know if it makes sense, because you look at sort of the windows that we're talking about and the Cavs, maybe LeBron leaves after this season, or the Cavs are just still in disarray. It really seems like LeBron's going to leave. The Woj stuff yesterday talking about how fractured that entire organization is right now kind of lends to the idea that maybe he's going to, jet and go somewhere else. Finding a location for him to go is a little harder to do, but that's definitely on the table. And, you know, if he leaves, obviously the Celtics will be the Celtics and they'll still be very good and deep. But the Raptors will be right there, man. They're very good. And it'll be the second year of this window with these guys a little bit further along the development curve, the year that they were originally supposed to be at their peak anyway over the course of this three-year window. Maybe you're still looking at the Bucks kind of working things out. The Sixers still working things out. Like, I think this year and next year are both equally win-now-ish type seasons for the Raptors, where you can reasonably talk yourself into them being, you know, a top one or two contender to make the finals in the Eastern Conference, barring the Cavs sort of reloading and bringing LeBron back, and that sort of changes the entire calculus of everything. But I don't know why they would sort of go all in this season when they have a very good chance to make it to the finals this season with a Celtics team that's shorthanded without Hayward, and very good. By very good, I mean better than maybe they have over the course of this run. I'm not saying they're by any means favorites to do it. I would say probably like 25%. I would say I feel confident they can make it at this point, but that's still better than what they've been in the past. I just think when it's already on the table that you can make the finals this season without a move, then I don't see why you would sort of go all in and sort of jump the gun when these young guys are going to be just like that much better a year from now with one more, you know, playoff run in them. Some of them it'll be their first playoff experience, and I think a year from now they're going to be much better, or at least marginally better, and the team's going to look that much stronger top to bottom while all the other money is kind of locked in. It's going to be an expensive team, and having those young guys at the back of the bench is still going to be super valuable. And reason number four is that there's not really any candidates that fit into the sweet spot for the Raptors. I kind of mentioned it off the top, but like, who out there is really sort of on the market that you could realistically talk yourself into? The DeAndre Jordan thing, he's too expensive. It becomes super complex. Same with Marc Gasol. You're giving up a whole lot in terms of salary. You're setting yourself up for, you know, bigger contracts. Like, DeAndre Jordan is a guy that I don't know if I would want to trade for right now, because that comes with the implication that you're going to try to sign him to a new contract, and that sort of locks up a lot of money in a 30-year-old center that you're not really sure how the back end of that contract is going to look. I guess teams are hoping that he'll opt into his deal for next season, but still, it's the bigger contract guys are really hard to do, because again, you have to put together so many Raptors salaries in order to make it doable. And then in terms of the smaller guys, like again, Rodney Hood, it's tough because he doesn't really fit into the long-term plans as well. Maybe you could trade Norman Powell at some point. And Norm Powell is kind of another tertiary reason as to why I don't think anything's going to happen here, is that Norm Powell is probably the easiest guy to trade on the Raptors roster in terms of salary, in terms of what another team might be able to sell themselves on him being. But he's not really, you can't trade him before the deadline because of the six-month ban on trading a guy who signed an extension. So he's not going to be available at the deadline. But he will be available at the draft and in the summer. And sort of the financials of that are a little tricky. He's at his current cap hit up until July 1st. After July 1st, he's a bigger cap hit that you can trade out. And in both situations, he will definitely have value. And so maybe that's the move that they make later on, is to sort of offload Norman Powell at some point. You know, kind of very similar to the Terrence Ross thing, where you sign the guy, he's in your future plans, but if the opportunity comes to trade him, like, it's useful to have that salary on hand. You have like CJ Miles' contract, I guess, is the other easy one to move here, but like, this is a team bereft of shooting. You need CJ Miles on this team right now. He's like the last guy I'd be looking to deal because of what he brings to the team and how useful his shooting is and how important it's going to become playoffs. Like, CJ Miles, I think we're going to see play a lot of minutes come playoff time just because of that shooting. He's been around 20 minutes a game this season. I could see it going up to like 25 to 30 in the playoffs just because of how useful he is, and how, you know, his spacing is going to be so valuable. He's probably going to get a lot of the benefit of guys like maybe DeLon Wright or Pascal Siakam playing a little bit less because of their less reliable shooting in the playoffs. So I wouldn't be looking to deal him, even though his contract is reasonable. It's just all these guys that you're going to potentially trade for. Tyreke Evans, like, I don't know where he plays because, like, yes, he's probably better than DeLon Wright or Fred VanVleet right now, but he also would completely alter the complexion of what has made that second unit so damn good this season, in that it's just like a very good defensive unit that moves the ball. It's a very egalitarian style of play. They're not an incredible offensive unit. They could use some more on-ball creation, but I don't know if Tyreke Evans is the guy you want to throw into that. And again, on down the line, like, a lot of these guys, like Marco Bellinelli or whoever, like, insert name here All of them have their flaws. All of them kind of would eat up the space that you'd maybe want to just give to a younger guy anyway, because they sort of offer a different element. Like, I'm not sure I want a guy coming in to take Pascal Siakam's role in the team, because Pascal Siakam's defense is unbelievable, and him running the floor is such an integral part of that second unit's identity that I don't know if I'd want to see, you know, insert power forward here, Ersan Ilyasova or something like that coming in to take over that spot. So I just don't really see that happening either. And yeah, it's just with the way the Raptors are set up, there's not an easy place to slot in a new guy. Maybe if you could get a starting caliber three, you could slide OG to the bench, but then you're looking at the starters being so damn good with OG. Like, what do you do if that doesn't work? And like, how do you switch it back? And I mean, obviously they would just do it and switch it back, but then you've made a trade for a guy who maybe is a bit superfluous. So I don't really see the easy sort of fit for any of these guys that people are talking about. Rodney Hood is like, he'd be nice. If it wasn't for the thing where he's an RFA, it'd be really nice. But the Jazz is probably going to ask for a lot for him because, again, he's a useful player. And like you don't just give up on a guy like that for nothing. You know, you're not going to get Rodney Hood for Bebe in a second-round pick, which if I'm the Raptors, I'm just calling every team and being like, hey, I'll give you Bebe in a second-round pick. What can you give me? And just see what happens, because that's really the best package they can put together at this point. Maybe you want to throw in, I can't think of one of the young guys you'd want to throw in, really, because Norm's the easy guy to throw in, but you can't trade him yet. So I just, for all these reasons, I just don't think something's going to happen. There's not really a good candidate. Jonas Valanciunas has been too good lately to trade his money out. It might be too early to consolidate the young guys. It's really damn hard for the Raptors to make a trade, and also they might already be the best team in the Eastern Conference. They might not need to make a trade, and you know, having the rest of the league fight it out for the Tyreke Evanses of the world, go for it, man. Like, go nuts. If the Celtics get Tyreke Evans, great. I still think the Celtics have issues, and Tyreke Evans doesn't exactly fit into their mold of offense either, so it's kind of an interesting fit. Same with Greg Monroe for them, actually, but we'll talk about the Celtics tomorrow on the podcast, because we'll recap that game. I'll probably do one tonight from the ACC. But until then, yeah, this is a fun trade deadline because nothing's going to happen, and I love it. Last year was miserable because of the fake trades people were throwing around. None of them were all that realistic. Obviously, the Ibaka one eventually happened, and so did the Tucker one, but it's, you know, the pre-trade deadline stuff drives me nuts when there's, like, conversation about something happening. So when the Raptors are kind of at this point where they don't really need to make a trade, they can kind of stand pat. Like, it's a good thing to be in a position where you don't really need to make a trade. Again, you can make the argument like David did that, hey, maybe they should try to cash them in and make good on this season. And there is an argument to that. Like, windows don't last forever. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what'll change. You don't know if someone will be hurt next season to sort of change the outlook for the team. But I think the way the Raptors have built themselves here, they don't have to go all in on this season. And I still think they can go without going all in and still find themselves playing in the finals come April or June and getting their asses handed to them by the Warriors. Like, I think that's on the table right now in a way that maybe it wasn't at the start of the season. So for all of those reasons I talked about, the Raptors, I don't think, are going to do a move at the deadline, and I don't think they need to, and I think that is 100% fine. Again, we'll be back again tomorrow with an episode talking about the Celtics game. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please rate, review on iTunes. Takes no time at all. It's the best way to help out the show, show that you care, all that good stuff. Make sure you check out the trivia episode from yesterday if you have 2 hours to kill, and it was a good time. Make sure you listen to it. There's some good drama in there, even though I repeated a bunch of questions, because coming up with a million trivia questions is so exhausting. But either way, check it out. It was a fun time, and a big upset, a crazy overtime comeback, a wild battle of heavyweights in the final round. It was great. So please check out the Locked On Raptors Trivia Tournament, day number 2. And enjoy the game tonight against the Celtics. Get jazzed up. Get some angry Celtics fans in your mentions, because that's always a good time. We will talk to you again soon with another episode of Locked On Raptors. Have a good one, everybody.